welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, good morning, everyone. That worship was great, wasn't it? You guys have a great worship team, let me tell you. It's good. So, yes, I was away for 3 months. Any of you that didn't know, I was away to Zambia. Which is just above South Africa. So I'm going to share a wee bit of that, and then I'm going to share what I really received over those 3 months, like the main thing, because I think I received like my whole lifetime in those 3 months when I was there. So we're just going to start with the photos here that Graham is doing fantastic in the back. So this is, so basically there was a big, huge base. It's covered in houses. It's like a village of Americans in the middle of Zambia, okay? And this was one of our classrooms. So I'd be like, you know, every day you get to sit and journal. Sorry, yes. And you're looking over the Zambezi River, which is Victoria Falls. So that's the Victoria Falls River. You can see the falls from the base. Crazy. So next photo there. Okay, and so then this is in the center of the base. So this is Revival Week. Missionaries from all over the world with Overland Missions fly in for Revival Week, and they've got guest speakers from America that come in. Anybody's been to Revival, you know what it's like. You're 3 meetings per day. Everyone's like flat on the floor, just constantly. Fantastic week. Next photo. And so I also had my family there. So I had my Auntie Tricia and my Uncle JD visited with their 2 kids that they've just adopted. And I was sitting in class one day, and Auntie Tricia was teaching us. She taught one of our classes called Christian Ethics, which was fantastic. And she was already telling the class about my family, like every little story. And it's a class of 30, and they're all like a wee bit older than me, but you know, they're all really cool. And I'm like, okay, they all know everything about my family now, you know what I mean? I get this, you know, it was just my family information. Then my Auntie Tricia starts screaming, and she's already a dramatic American, right? So she's screaming. I'm like, there's probably a lizard on the back of the wall or something, you know? I didn't turn around. After the commotion, I turn around and I see my Nana's white hair. My Nana and Papa had just landed in Zambia. Complete surprise. Not my Nanny and Granddad. My dad's parents from down south just like appeared. Complete shock. So I had actually most of my dad's family with me in Zambia for at least part of the time. And then the next photo here. This was my class. There's a few missing there, but they all became my family as well. So there was 2 Irish people. I was the northern one, and there was a lady in her 40s from the south who was absolutely mad as well. So it really created this like Irish mad name. I don't know if you've ever traveled and heard of the Irish Wrath, because it seems to be a thing that everyone says about the Irish Wrath. But we actually proved them completely wrong, because we were both very, very relaxed compared to everyone else there. So the next photo here. So this was my favorite part. So we had 2 classes per day for about 4 hours each. So you woke up at 6 a.m. You started your physical exercise. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, physical exercise. 6 a.m. in the morning. My Nana could hear me screaming to the football pitch. I'm not a physical exercise type of person. So physical exercise, then we get our breakfast, we have our morning devotions, we're straight into class for 4 hours, lunch, straight into class again, an hour and a half of work team, which can be slashing grass if you miss your PT, which is your morning exercise, which I did, so you spent an hour and a half slashing grass. Just accidentally slept in one morning. Mowing the lawn, cutting weeds, making the dinner, you had to make the breakfast, you'd do the dishes. Bear in mind, on the base, there's 70 people there constantly. And then Revival Week, which I happened to be on dish team for Revival Week, was 150 people, which was great, right? So you're talking like nearly 2 hours of dishes there. And then you come to the evenings. And so we have just a wee bit of time spare in the evening. You know, your Wi-Fi is hardly ever working. It's every other day. So I just been in like a quick phone call to mom and dad. I got like a 3-second into Nanny and Granddad because the connection was so bad. And like some of the Americans would come up, right, let's have a Holy Ghost party. And I'm like, no, no, no. I have been up since 6 a.m. I'm sitting down, I'm having a cup of tea, I'll maybe read over some notes. You know, we like our evenings just to relax a wee bit. It's been a hard working day. And they were like crazy, like they would be, I'd come up later on and they would all be laughing on the floor. As I got in, I'm done. Like, it is bedtime for me, you know. But it made me realize one really important point was that no matter how busy you are in the day, there's time to fit in Jesus, right? You know how much of the day was filled with Jesus? The whole day, right? The whole day was filled with Jesus in Africa. But they put even more in their free time. What they wanted to do was spend more time with Jesus. You know, well, I was thinking of my cup of tea, even though they're absolutely mental people, I had to give them credit for the amount of fire they had, right? And I was like, I got straight in the phone to Mum after I'd like, you know, relaxed into it a bit. And I was like, Mom, we need to bring this to young adults. You know, they're all young adults age. And I was like, what are we as young adults doing? You know, me including. We get so busy with our work that there is no way I'd want to be out on the floor laughing with joy. And yet those people, they work crazy hours, those young adults in America. They pay off all their university debt. And the first thing they want to do is get stuck into God. So that was a real testimony to me. And it's something I really learned. By the end of 3 months, you'll be thankful to know I was joining in. So we had that busy schedule every day. Our weekends weren't really weekends off. You have homework, you've got exams and stuff. But once a week in the month, which was my favorite week, we got to go out to hut in the Zambians. So you take a big, huge truck and you travel about 8 to 10 hours to get to villages that weren't reached yet, okay? But a little bit about Zambia is they're actually a Christian nation, so they say, although no one's heard of Jesus, right? They do maize and farming for living, so it's very relaxed. You show up to their hut and they pull seats up for you. They just want you to stay there for hours with them. Like, there's no work time schedule. It's just all very, we're giving you the time that we have. And they're not poor, which was a thing I really, really learned. Because we have this view, and there are some countries that are severely poverty, but we have this view like the poor little Africans in Africa. You know, like eat your food because the poor Africans need it. But they actually live a very simple life. They did not want our food and they certainly did not want our clothes. So this is a shitanye, okay? This is why I wore this morning. I'm not looking funny for no reason. So it's actually, I got ties on it. Sorry, I'm stepping too far. I got ties on it, but it's basically just a blanket you tie around you. When you're there, you normally wear trousers underneath, you know, just for modesty. The thing there is, women can't show any shape of their legs. So you're walking hot, hot hours for miles and you're wearing a blanket over you. Not the most comfortable thing, but this is what they wear. And so it was amazing just to spend time learning about how they live. You know, they're in like these huts or sometimes like a concrete hut and you walk in and they actually have a TV. Crazy. Like, they just want to live like that, you know? So the way we can help them, the way Overland Missions does, they do some stuff in medical centers, but they really help spiritually wise, because at the end of the day, we need to get everyone going to heaven. You know, it doesn't matter really how they lived here on earth, you know, because Jesus is going to supply everything for them as soon as they know him. So that was our main goal there. So you set up tents here, you're cooking over the fire. There is two trucks at the side here that you can't see, kind of with a kitchen kind of set up. My tent is just on the first row there, the one to the very right. So I was, and that's the sunrise. Just amazing scenery. Next photo there, Graham. So I'm just going to go through these photos quite quickly because these are some, this is now on hut to hut, the different kids that were here and some of the stuff that we did. So just next one there. This is a beautiful little baby. I was a baby hugger, I'm not going to lie. Like, they may not have understood me, but they knew I wanted to take their baby. So I got to hold all the babies. Next photo. So this is lots of wee kids. They actually were afraid of what we are Makuas. Makuas is a white person. Makuas apparently steal them. Not actually a thing. It's a rumor they're told. So, like, you think you're going to be able to cuddle all the kids, and you really couldn't. It was quite sad. So you had to really work up a relationship if you got to hold one of them. So next photo. This little kid here, he had a sore foot, and one of the student nurses with us was actually treating his leg, which is why he looks so upset. Next photo. So one of the things we did when we were there was a soccer match. So it was Zambians versus Makuas, white people. Zambians are amazing at football, if anybody didn't know. Like, they absolutely whipped us every single time. And hundreds of them would come out because it's a big deal to have the Zambians win, you know. So they'd all come out, watch us, and afterwards we're just about to gather to give them a word. So it was a really good outreach way of getting, like, the whole family and everyone together. So next photo. This was one of the opportunities I got to stay at some of the huts. There was only like 5 people in the 30 class that got to do that. We split off. In the second month, we all went to different areas of Zambia. And my group, which was me and 2 other guys, got to spend time actually living at the huts. So this is a wee boy that stayed with me the whole time. Next photo. Yep, another baby. Next photo. These were actually Zambian girls that came to me to say, could you help us with our project? It was in English algebra. Really, really hard, and in another language for them. So I tried as much as I could, but it was really hard. So that's us just working through maths. Next photo. These are just some of these photos my friends took with their professional cameras, and they're just beautiful. Okay, next one. This woman that's hugging me here, she's the second wife of a headman. Headman's in charge of the village. She had 3 wives, and she was the second, so we spent some time with her. Next photo. Yeah, so me and my 2 friends there were actually just chilling, watching the football match, and we noticed that the little African kids got closer and closer and closer until I thought I could not breathe anymore. So I was like, we have to get someone on the outside of this to get a photo. They love photos. So that's the story behind that. Next photo. So yes, some of our different classes. This is preaching class, okay? So preaching class, by the end of the week, you had to give a sermon. Then 3 people out of the class of 30 were picked to share on Sunday to make up the service. So they'd each give their 10-minute word. So I was one of those people, which was amazing, and I got to share on that Sunday morning. Some of our other classes were vehicle mechanics, which I failed because I can't drive, and we were meant to dissect an engine. Uncle David, you would have loved it. Like, it was just, it was all into the cars. They have a huge workshop there. And then there was wood carpentry, and there was welding, which actually was professional welding, new skill. So there was loads of different classes. It wasn't just all of our Christian stuff, but it was also, that's the amazing thing about Overland, was they were training you that they can drop you in any country and you're able to survive. So that's the whole point of it. One of our classes, which I really enjoyed, was wilderness first responder for 2 weeks. And so you were taught everything about how to treat someone with nothing in the wilderness, like how to use just stuff out of nothing. And so there was one night, again, I'm enjoying my cup of tea. You just hear screams. It's pitch black down in the classroom, and you can hear screaming. And our instructor, he's flown over from America. He's in charge of the USA medical. He trains all the medical troops. So he's a big, big guy. They fly in to do this every time. So he's like, right, there's been an accident in the classroom. Like, run. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So you, like, grab everything you can, pencils, what's going to help us here, you know? Like, just grab your stuff, run down to the classroom. Classroom's covered in chairs and just people screaming. And they did the whole makeup. So, like, legs are hanging off, like, stuff all over their face. So we're quickly working as a team, we're moving the chairs, we're getting in there. You have to do, this is a proper thing, full vital signs and everything, take their blood pressure, get them moved out, the helicopter's coming on the way in 5 minutes. Really, like, I had to spend the whole night calming down because that was a traumatic experience. Because I was with the trauma patient, okay? So she screamed and she wasn't even hardly hurt, you know? And you're trying to be sympathetic. And the amount of Mickey she took out of me for being Irish was not funny, because she was actually my friend. She was on staff, but she was a friend. And so she knew I was treating her, and she made life so, so difficult when I was trying to treat her. But, and then we had to rewatch the recording and go through everything. So yeah, if you're having an emergency in a wilderness area, I should be able to respond to it with a pencil. I'll be there for you, don't worry. So next photo. So this, you can't really see it, but we had an upstairs area specifically for our class. Like, kids were not allowed. Some of the people on there had kids. And they're all praying right here. This is one of the nights they would have gone up to either pray or have a Holy Ghost party. I actually, when I checked that photo, was not there, which proves I probably was having a cup of tea at the time. But that just shows how on fire they were. It was amazing. Next photo. So we got chances to worship lead. 50% of our class were all worship leaders, which they've never had before. So it was a perfect time for me to be in it, because I got to do stuff with so many different instrumentalists. Next photo. This is just a photo of Victoria Falls, because it wasn't all that bad. We actually went on a safari and went to Victoria Falls, which was amazing. Next photo. Okay, and then I think, is this the last photo? Yes, okay. So we had one of our classes was kind of like wilderness first responder, but how do you survive in the wilderness not treating people? So they gave us coordinates, and we had to walk miles following our coordinates. Along the coordinates, there was water we had to pick up. There was a goat and a live goat. And each point we went to, there was a Bible verse. And so the Bible verse beside the goat was about Jezebel. So the goat was named Jezebel for a reason, because it wasn't going to live very long. So we all went marching through to find our base, which was on the side of a river. JD, my uncle JD, thankfully came down and showed us how to skin the goat. I helped gut the goat, because once it's dead, it's okay. It's dead. It was killed in a very humane way. Then they obviously fried the goat. We ate it with shima, which is what all the Africans eat. It's like porridge, but bread right in the middle. Absolutely tasteless. I refused to eat it. Lunchtimes, I just wouldn't eat from breakfast and dinner if there was shima on the plate. I just couldn't do it anymore. But it's called shima par. Like, you know, it's meant to make you really strong. And those women are strong, like. So there's something to do with that shima. I ate worms as well. There was lots of nice things that we ate with the shima. So this was one of those nights, and you had to stay up all night beside the fire. You weren't allowed to bring anything with you. So at the time we were in class, they said, you've got 5 minutes to run back to your tent, grab an item, and meet us back here. You're going for your wilderness night. If you're late and items taken off you, my tent was 5 minutes away. So I knew I was going to be late. So I'm running, like, I throw on a pair of leggings underneath my shatangi, and we go straight there. We have like 5 items, which is like a knife, a salt for the goat, toilet roll, a flashlight, and like matches. And that was it. And we spent the whole night. It is not warm in Africa at nighttime. Nobody told me that before I left, so I didn't bring any warm clothes. It is freezing. So that was an experience to remember. And then I'm just going to show you this one video of the choir. So this was a school ministry that we went to. And they just, we sang a song for them, so they have to sing a song for us. This is not a choir. This is just their school voices, and it was incredible. So it's just 10 seconds, but it's amazing. How beautiful is that? That was just their school. What is their choir like? Crazy. So I'm going to get into my word here, because you kind of know a brief what happened over those 3 months. It's very hard when people say, how was your 3 months, to backdate 3 months. So that's pretty much a snapshot of what was happening. Thank you. So I'm going to share a revelation that I gained, okay? And if you've ever gained a revelation for yourself, it's amazing, because what I'm going to share here is I've actually been taught loads before. Dad preaches on it a lot. He's an expert on this subject. But I had never taken it as my own, and I did when I was over there. So hopefully one of you will take it for your own today as well. So, as you know, I don't really have to do my backstory or anything. Granddad did that. Been saved my whole life. A pastor's daughter, a granddaughter, pastor's daughter, if that even works. Know when guest ministers come in, when to raise my hand, when to speak in tongues, you know, do the whole show. Like, look like the perfect child. I can pull that off, right? But my heart was not right. It was not. And before AMT, my heart was just not in the right place. And I was still doing everything in church. Nobody would have picked up on it unless, you know, you're hearing for God, which happens to me and my whole family. So most of my family members would have picked up on it. But my heart was just not in it, you know. And so my expectations by AMT was like, right, this is going to be a place where I can grow. This is going to be good, do some missions. I had no idea what I was in for. I am not a crier, but I had some breakdowns there. I'm not going to lie. It was God, so it's okay. It wasn't like stress. But the first few weeks, I was calling Mom, and I was like, Mom, I cannot. These Americans are absolutely mad. And I'm used to my dad, but this was on another level. Like, this is 10 times more than dad, you know? And I shared this in our own church, and the whole church just couldn't get it. And we're walking around hut to hut, and I am exhausted. I am just, what is wrong with me? I am so tired. These Americans are still pumped on fire for God. I'm trying to evangelize, and I can't even think, like, what the time is. And so we sit down for lunch, and one of the girls whips out coffee beans. Anybody want a coffee bean? Crunching on coffee beans. I was like, no wonder I'm the one that's tired. I don't drink coffee or crunch on coffee beans here. New revelation once again. Like, I was like, okay, I'm completely fine. I'm doing okay. I just drink tea. So they also, when I finished this 3 months, people came up to me at the end and actually apologized. They said, we didn't think you were going to make it. I was like, are you kidding me? Because one guy came to me, he said, you came in with your straight hair, your tourist sunglasses and your big hoop earrings. He looked at me and said, that's it, she's not going to last. Right? They all called me a white girl queen because I ate with a knife and fork. Knife and fork, lads, is a posh thing nowadays. I'm not joking, right? So I got a lot of crack taken out of me. I did, because I had a lot of manners compared to some of the other people that were there. And I was very chilled out. My emotions there are actually very dull because the Americans are very high. So I look like I'm just not excited about anything in life, you know? So they're like, she's not making it through. And then the same guy that said that about my tourist sunglasses said, I saw you a few weeks later in the dirt welding a machine to perfection. He was like, that is some girl. I was like, amen. The Irish can do it in style and do it well, I'm telling you, right? So that's what I learned. That's what I learned about us. So my favorite class was identity class, okay? I had to sort out my identity before I even went to evangelize on anybody else's identity. There was no way, you know? I had to sort out who I was. And Auntie Tricia, she came a month later and she was prophesying over me. And it was a huge prophecy. And I wish I had it recorded, but I don't. But there's a few parts I remember. And one of them was, she said, I just see you in the dirt. You're lying in the dirt right now. And God is picking you up and he's putting on a coat of royalty. Okay. And it was a sharp word. She said, get up, like get out from where you are. And some of us are going into school, going into university now. She was like, you're not just a nurse. Nursing may be part of your calling, but that's not just who you are. There is so much more. And that is when I started to really focus on who I am. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Says, put on the new self, which in likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we are made in God's image. And how many of you have heard that verse before and not taken it seriously? Like, in God's image, okay? We're talking about the creator of the creator. Like, he's huge and we are made like him. So something we all should know, we are perfect, blameless and equipped. So if you think today there's something you want to do or you know something God's calling you to do and you're like, I'm not equipped for it, that is a complete lie. Let's just break it right now, because you are perfect, blameless and equipped to do everything, okay? If there's something you need to step up to do and you think you can't do it, it's somewhere in you, you know, that he's calling out of you. So we're going to deal a wee bit of shame, because that's what I was facing with. And you know, when Adam sinned, the first thing he did in the garden was hide. The first thing that hit him, that the devil got to him by, was shame. Okay, so it is something every human being is going to struggle with at some point in their life. And that is the first thing Adam did. He hid himself because he felt he was naked. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4 says, "Fear not, for you will not be put to shame." Okay, says it in the Bible. Do not fear. Whatever you have to do, or whatever it is you have done, God says you will not be put to shame, because we are forgiven. And so there was one night, it was in the first week, my tent mate, I call her Prophet Kyla, because the amount of prophecies I got from her were ridiculous, spot on. People are just flying words at me all the time, and I mean they're accurate, they're not just wee words. And she'd written it out, and at night time I like to chat, and so every night I'd come in, "I can't hear you, I don't want to hear you," and I'd put my earplugs in. I was like, right, that's fine. I love my tent mate, I'm spending Christmas with her. She just didn't like to talk at night time, and I did. But this night, she left a prophecy on my bed. She says, "Read it. I don't want to discuss it because I don't know what it means." So she was just... I happened to be with one of the Americans who was not like all the Americans. She was just different, and she's fantastic. But she's black and white, so she told it to me straight, which is what I needed. And it's why God placed me with her. There was a reason I was in her tent. And so one of the prophecies that she gave me, this one was, "You have accepted God's grace and forgiveness for whatever it is you did, but you haven't forgiven yourself." And that was completely accurate. And I hadn't thought about it that way, because I knew God had forgiven me. I didn't have a problem with God, because I knew how big God was. God could forgive me. The problem was, I couldn't forgive myself. I was like, there is no way I can do any more ministry, I can do anything, when my heart's not right. And I feel so much shame, and I cannot forgive myself right now. But the thing I needed to realize was, it's not how God sees me, but it's starting to see myself the way God sees me. Okay? When God looks into the mirror, I used this analogy before, what do you think he's saying? Pretty sure he's saying he's awesome. He is pretty sleek. Absolutely amazing. God is not going to shame himself in that mirror at all. And if we are made in God's image, when I look in the mirror, it shouldn't just be, oh, God sees me as perfect. I see me as perfect, okay? Because you're putting on the brand new self, the brand new identity, okay? And you take that on. So I am perfect. I am blameless. So today, for some of you, you may not feel shame on any bad works. You know that you've forgiven yourself. But another thing I realized was, I was trying to please God with all my good works. And for anybody who knows me, I like being busy. That's just how I am. But I was busy, you know, just anything I get my hands into. Mom would be like, "Crystal, have you read the chapter of the Bible today?" "Well, Mom, I just taught children's kids and I just led worship, so God should be happy enough," literally was my reply. Not going to lie, being completely honest with you. I was like, you know what, God's had half of my day and a chapter just isn't going to work right now, okay? Technically, read a chapter to the kids, so I'm safe. So that was what I was like. And I was thinking that God was so pleased at everything I was doing. But you know what just hit me hard in this identity class was, Adam had no history. It means no bad works, which we know until he sinned, but no good works. He was made as a man. He hadn't done anything good. He hadn't been involved in big church things, done loads of ministry, anything like that. But God says, "I am well pleased in this man. I am proud." So before you've done anything for God or been involved in any ministry or done any good works, charities, anything like that, God says, no, you don't even have to do that. You're doing that to honor me and to worship me. But you don't have to. I mean, I love you just the way you are. I love you without you even having to do anything. You are perfect. And so that to me was like, whoa, like, even if I didn't do anything, God still thinks I'm absolutely amazing. And so we were having a night of encouragement, and each person would go around and give an encouragement to me, and it was my turn. And one of the ladies, the one from down south in Ireland, she said, God had to take you out of your environment to get time with you. And that's why you're here, Crystal. And I thought, how crazy is it that God had to take me out of church life to get time with me? You know, like when did I lose God in church? Crazy, because you think you're around him all the time, but God had to literally pull me out. No Wi-Fi, my phone smashed. It's like complete, Lydia was laughing at me this morning, it's completely broke, smashed in Africa, so I literally couldn't use it. I was away from everyone. I'm not even with like common like Northern Irish people, people from the UK, just completely out of my comfort zone, and he just wanted to get time with me, you know? And that's what I realized my whole 3-month experience was like. For other people, it was different, but for me, it was he had to pull me out just to spend time with me. So we came to a sector expedition, and I'd just been, someone else gave me a word saying, God's grace is enough for you to take the next step. Okay, I'm just dwelling on all of this. I'm learning who I am, this new identity. And then they give out these grips. So each grip's going to a different area in Zambia. So you're paired off with different people. There's certain people I would have liked to be paired with. You know, there was a lady I knew was a nurse. So I thought, right, going into the medical clinics in Zambia, that would be pretty great. I'd enjoy that. Really good work experience because I'm starting here soon. There was another lady who was taking a grip out with children's work. Fantastic. She gets hundreds of kids during the week. Fantastic week it would be with her. And then they call out my name and they say, Crystal, you're with Jared and Lewinsky. Lewinsky was fine. Jared was like a full-blown fire preacher. I am not joking. Anywhere he goes, there's someone manifesting and he's casting it out. And I was like, oh, Lord, like nursing, kids. And straight away, it was like a dagger just hit me. And God said, no, I know you can nurse. I know you can work with kids. What you don't know is what you're going to do on this week. He was like, I am pulling it out of you. I purposely stick you in situations where I'm going to have to pull out a new gifting in you to use. And the week we went into was absolutely insane, okay? It was crazy. I can't express how much I grew on that 1 week. I faced my one major manifestation. Never, like, always known about it. People are demon-possessed. That's completely fine. We cast that out. You don't really see it, though, in a big way here, you know? And what I saw in Africa, without going into too much detail, was crazy, as you can imagine how it goes. For a long time. And at the start, you're like, right, cast that out in the name of Jesus. Like, get out. I'm on fire. I'm like beside Jared, completely fine. Pitch black. There's only a fire going. And it started to just hit me. And I was like, oh my word, I am freaking out now. Like, I am scared. And I was like, Jared. And he's like, Crystal, it's fine. Leave her. It's coming out. It's completely fine. I had to get prayer that night so I didn't have nightmares. Like, I was like absolutely blown apart. Like, what is this? But it was at that moment, you know, you have to think, are you going to be scared or are you going to face up to that? Reality, that demon, that devil could do absolutely nothing to touch me. And it was fleeing straight away. But that fear had just hit me right in the middle, you know, and I hadn't challenged it. So that was a learning step right there. And it was crazy. But one of my favorite verses that I constantly said throughout that night was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. So I can then do all, not just one, all things through Christ, not through Uncle Jonathan, not through Nicola, through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. So I really dwelled on that verse the whole way through. And, you know, I thought I knew how I was coming to AMT. I did not feel like I was feeling low. I didn't, because I never dwell on things. A lot of stuff happened. You're too even busy to think about how you're even viewing yourself. And when I got to Africa, and that just all hit me, you know, all the different things that I had to pull out. They, the believers, are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. John chapter 17, verse 14. We are not of this world. How crazy is that? Like, we are just not. Like, I can't even go into the theory of it because our brains can't even physically comprehend that we're not part of this world. But we are not. So do not live as if you're part of this world, because we are from a completely different heavenly atmosphere. So knowing who you are in kingdom culture, you can affect any culture. And that's something I learned. I don't have to transform to fit into a certain group of people to be able to talk to them. Because kingdom culture is every culture. It's going to affect every single place you go. Okay? So that's the culture we have to take on. Not worldly culture, not Northern Irish culture, kingdom culture. So why fear when you have everything? And why shame? Okay? And you know, the first thing the devil does every time is try to steal someone's identity. It's the first thing he attacks. And if you read in the Bible about Jesus in the wilderness, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He knew he was the Son of God. I mean, the devil got cast out of heaven, completely knew it. Challenging Jesus, prove it then. Jesus says, no, I know I'm the Son of God. Like, don't you try to. It's like someone saying, if you are Pastor Brian's daughter, play the piano and prove it. It's like, no, I know I'm his daughter. I look just like him. I look just like mum. That's the same way that Jesus saw himself that we should. No, I'm not being tested right now. I look just like God. I am made in the image of him. Okay? Jesus knew his identity. And the one thing that I really picked up on was Ireland's identity. Because a lot of people spoke about it over there. And when they saw there was me and the Southern girl, we were getting up preaching, and she's a big evangelist, so she's just on fire. Gave Ireland the really, really good name, you'll be proud to know. And the guy in charge, he said, that's it, next year I'm recruiting in Ireland. I'm coming to get people. Because they recruit all over the world, that's how they build up their teams, that's how they get people on the course, and then they get missionaries. He's like, I need to hit Ireland if this is what two people are like. And Ireland used to, you know why everyone loves Ireland? It's not because they haven't met the Irish. It's because the Irish traveled everywhere back in the day. Every country I go, I can say anything and they just laugh because you're Irish. They just think you're hilarious and they think you're lovely. And half the stuff I mean, like I'm not being lovely, but they still think I'm joking. So it's completely fine. And I thought, you know, they are not in love with the Irish because it's this far off land that they've never been to, never met people from it. It's because the Irish traveled everywhere. Every American you meet will let you know that they're 2% Irish. 3%, 4%, the highest is like 6%. Yes, even Obama. Everyone will let you know there's a little percentage in Ireland. Okay, Ireland went everywhere. And when I talk to my friends now, they're on a 2-week holiday and they're homesick. They're like, 2 weeks is long enough for me. Like, I can't do it. And I'm like, isn't that funny? How we've changed from Ireland that used to go everywhere to every different country spreading the word of God to the Ireland that we're so comfortable in our wee home. 2-week holiday is too long. You know? And God just showed me that the one thing devil came to take from Ireland was Ireland's identity. Because Ireland was the mission capital of the world. And just like he comes to steal ours, he comes to steal a country. And so the thing that he's put down is, oh no, you're comfortable in your wee home. Have a wee cup of tea. Like, just enjoy yourself. Life is busy. Get your family going. Save up your money. It all sounds very, very sweet. But behind it, he completely stole the thing that we had, which was our mission's identity. And so whether or not you're struggling with your own identity and shame and things that I've spoken about today, pray into Ireland's identity, because I believe it's breaking. And we know that there's a revival coming soon. You know, it's been prophesied everywhere I go. People say about the revival coming in Ireland, you know, and that identity is changing. And that's what we need to do as a church, is pray into that. Okay, because there is no way the devil's stealing Ireland's identity. So I'm just going to round it off here by sharing a few things, the comparisons of how I viewed myself or how some of you might have, and then how I've changed, okay? So I was lost and now I'm found. I was shy, now I'm bold, weak, now strong, sinner, now royalty, bruised, now perfect, hurting, healed. I was confused, but now I'm ready to go and preach the gospel to all the nations. And so I leave you with a question, and that's, who do you say you are today? And just dwell on that this afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.